Welcome back. Hi, everyone. Lane Kennedy here with you again. So thrilled. I hope you're having a great moment, a great day. Today, I have another guest in this series of Yoga Nidra guides. We call ourselves guides. We're not teachers. It's so interesting because in the meditation world, I'm a meditation teacher. And then in the Yoga Nidra world, I'm a Yoga Nidra guide. It's very different. So today I am joined with Aisling. And did I say that right?
You did.
Aisling. I love that name. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into the name, Aisling. And she is a Yoga Nidra guide and she is out of Canada, right?
Correct. Yeah. I live in Vancouver, Canada right now.
Vancouver. So everyone tells me that that's like, if I were to move, that that's where I should land is Vancouver. Because it's similar to San Francisco, I hear.
It's really similar. I think it's just got that moderate climate, maybe not as much sun, but it's got that lifestyle for anybody who really enjoys the outdoors. And obviously the yoga scene is pretty big here too.
Right. So yummy. All right. So Aisling, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. I have loved every conversation with every single guide. And I know that I'm going to enjoy this one as well, because each guide brings something different to the practice. And we really explore, you know, how each of us found the practice, right? So let's go back and share with the audience just a little bit about yourself and how you found the practice of Yoga Nidra.
Sure. I kind of stumbled across Yoga Nidra by accident. I wasn't even really familiar with what it was. So it came about when I was pregnant with my daughter, who's now three. And I was going through one of those stages in my life where I was about to become a new mom. And I think when you're going through a big transition in life, you really assess where you're at. And something like that felt like a massive amount of responsibility. And I was worried about it because I was unsure if I would make a good mother. I didn't know how to navigate that whole world. I had so much anxiety around it. I was really excited, but at the same time, terrified I'd F it up. And my own childhood was like, it was happy, but it wasn't exactly stable, is how I'd say. My mother, is a very creative person, but I wouldn't say she is maternal. So I didn't feel like I had a reference of like a good mother figure in my life. And I knew, and like any of us, I think we all think our parents could have done a better job. And definitely that generation is so different. And the majority of our issues come from childhood. Right. And this was a lot of the stuff I already knew because I've always been a big fan of growth and like, I guess, inner work. But I didn't know how to navigate it. And then I came across my teacher, Jana Roma's online Yoga Nidra meditations by pure fluke. I don't know. I think she has one specifically for mamas. And I downloaded one. I paid like $7 or whatever it was on the internet. And I started doing it regularly when I was pregnant, not understanding the practice, but just knowing that when I went in there, and I did the meditation, I always arrived in that place where I left feeling like, oh, I can do this, like believing in myself more. And I was more like, I just think I was more stable. Like my emotions weren't all over the place. I kind of had a better grip of who I was. And I, you know, I didn't realize at the time that I was working through my inner child stuff because it's deep level stuff. And it was coming up and I was working through math of issues from my own upbringing, and I was like facing them head on. And I think half it was the practice, but half it was the courage to do this work for the being that I was bringing into the world. So I started addressing things that were so deeply repressed that were coming up, and even talking to like my parents about different things that had happened, and sometimes not talking at all, but just processing how I felt myself. So that's how I was introduced to the practice. And it was just a gorgeous way. It was like, it was kind of like the not knowing, but knowing there was magic in it.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting when we're pregnant, because I'm a mother as well. And there is this like oh my God, I'm going to do this all wrong. I'm not the maternal person at all. Like, I'm like, okay, go like deal with yourself. Like, I just like, I'm not made that way because of my, right. That generational thing that happens, that's occurred over generations. And the beauty of yoga nidra is that we lie down, right? We lie down and we break this generational stuff.
Yeah. Right?
The generational pathways are broken as a result of it. And, you know, after doing yoga nidra for a couple years now, like my parenting has totally transformed.
Right. Yeah.
And my own personal mothering, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Right? Like the conversation that I have in my head has changed, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when you find that practice, did you start doing it every day?
Oh, it was like an addiction. I was like, this is it. And it got to the stage where even like my partner, Colm, he would say to me, why don't you go and do that? He knew, why don't you go and do that meditation? Uh-huh. And the thing about like that whole practice, maybe people aren't aware of, or maybe they are, but it's like, there's such a surrender. It's such a deep surrendering practice. And my whole life up to that point had been very driven and had, I had lived very much in my masculine energy. And I'm like a very outgoing, social, chatty person. I would have considered myself, I guess from an outsider's point of view, you'd be like, oh, there is Ashley. She's really chatty, outgoing, confident. But I don't think I allowed myself to feel into that whole softness and the feminine energy and like the gentleness. And I felt like I always had to protect and do everything for myself. Mm-hmm. And when I did yoga nidra, it was like allowing me permission to find that inner softness. Cause at the yin practice, it's feminine. And I think becoming a mom is so, it is so feminine. You're bringing life into this world. And it just opened up all those parts of me in preparation that like nothing else, like nothing else I've ever done. And what I love about it is it's such a personal practice. Like when you do something like this, so often in the world we're doing practices guided by others, but being told how we should feel, what we should do. And I guess that's in a way is religion too. And it's all these like mythologies or all these rules to follow. But with this practice, it's a discovery. So when you're in there, you're kind of finding your own way. And when you discover your own way, that's when you get your own sense of trust in yourself. And I really connected with my intuition. And it's something I had really strongly as a child. And I've always been very intuitive in almost a psychic way, but not as in, oh, you know, this is going to happen and blah, 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 but more like, I would have known what to do next based on when I'm in alignment with my intuition. I would know where to look for the house I'm going to live in. I would know when to look at a company for a job. Like all those things that we often say, oh, it's a coincidence. Yeah. And it's not. And that's what I love about it too. I love that it shows you how to connect with other parts of you besides the intellect. Because we're so driven by the intellect. Oh, let's study. And we can research and study and force and use our minds as much as we want, but I think it's like this whole idea of inspiration and intuition is what where the magic is.
Okay, did you guys hear that? It's where the magic is, right? All the magic is right there in that quiet space. When we lie down, we're able to tap in to that quiet space and hear what we need to. That's what I'm hearing from you. And I'm also hearing that you were able to transform that very masculine energy, right? As a lot of women, like I know a lot of type A, there's a lot of type A women who listen to the show, right? We're always go, 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 do, 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 do. And this practice, from what I just gathered from you, kind of shape-shifted you, kind of softened you, kind of reformed you into maybe your true being, right? Or rebalanced you. Maybe that's a better way to say it, right? Because we need both the masculine and the feminine. And this practice allows the feminine to rise up, right? Rise up and be seen and be heard. So it's and it's subtle and gentle, right? And you don't have to do anything. except lay your body. I mean, that's, I think that's one of the things, right? It's like, you have to commit to putting your body horizontal.
Yeah. Yeah. And regular as well. And I know that there's teachers like Dispenza, Dr. Dispenza, who offers these kind of guided meditations and says they can have transformative effects after one. That wasn't my personal experience, but I know that when I do this regularly, it just changes the chemistry in myself. And it reminds me all of the time who I am inside, rather than, it's so easy for the external world to tell you who you are, to be who you really are, and to like get inside your body and stand there. And there's a teacher I love called Sasha Bahadur, and she has this, I went to one of her classes once, and she used the term soft power. And the minute I heard those words, like, they resonated on such a level, and it just showed me that you can be, as a woman, in your power, standing in your ground, but in that softness. And I think that's the magic of being a woman, because it is being a gift as well. Like, we have all these sensitivities, and I often find that people who are in that type A driven going, a lot of those people are empaths. Like, they feel things so and so deeply, and they're so sensitive, but from the outside, they're perceived as like, you know, hard as a rock, like, you know, toughies, like, you know, I think it's quite intimidating for people.
Yeah.
But when you come into the softness place, you're, I don't know, it's like you're radiant, and like, you're more charismatic and more approachable. And then it, but it allows you, it gives you permission, you know, to be who you truly are.
That's such a great way to put it. It really does allow you to kind of unfold. And I'm like, where do I want to go with this? So you mentioned Joe, and I love Joe. And I'm thinking about the difference between Joe and Yoga Nidra. And like the transformation, I think, that occurs with Yoga Nidra, is, it can be one time, right? Like, I know for me, like, I can go in and I go so deep that things kind of shift in shape and I completely transform. And with Joe, like, you're going in and who knows what's going to happen, except you're going to hear him like saying, go deeper, go in. In his weird voice, but the God love him.
Voice,
yes, right. But what I'm thinking about is in Yoga Nidra, and I had this come up in a client. I have a company that I work with, and it was their first time experiencing Yoga Nidra, and they were like, "Whoa, what happened?" And my client, he said, "Well, I came in and out of the practice. I could feel myself come up and go back in." And I said, "Well, with Yoga Nidra, what I suggest and kind of share is that you create a regular practice so you learn to ride the wave of the Nidra." That's what I call it. Because once we go in, it's like, it's building the neural pathways, right? Reconnecting them, and like they're firing and wiring together to make, to allow the body to rest. And the more that we get into practice of resting the body, the more change we feel. And he was like, "Oh, so I can do this every day?" Like, he didn't even, right? Like, there was no, like, it was like he thought one and done. Right? And so, right, like, but this is a practice that we can do over and over and over again, because we really, we're rewiring those connections in the brain to have a different experience in the world, right?
Yes.
So my question to you, Aisling, is what has been the most profound rewiring?
Oh, great question. I think the answer that just came straight to my mind the second you said that was not being as reactive. So I think it allowed me, as I moved through my own life, to be, to really observe it, and to be like, I was okay at being present, I think, because having a kid, they teach you how to be present. Like, we are doing this now. And the minute you go off, like, you're coloring, you're playing dollies, the minute you stop doing that, they know. Kids are so tapped in. But I think it taught me to be not reactive. So when you're in those moments of challenge, or mm-hmm. you're having a quarrel over whose turn it is to do the dishes or take the bins out, that it allowed me to kind of take a breath and just observe what was happening without reacting. Mm-hmm. So it's not getting caught into it, and knowing that, oh, this is what's happening right now, and not judging it. And I think that's an amazing ability to have, because if you can do that in your life, and it's something I practice every single day with every single interaction, to observe what's happening and process it without judgment, I think slowly you start gaining control over your emotions more, yeah. you know. And if you've yeah. got, like, I'm a person with, like, big emotions, I'm expressive,
yeah. right.
I wear all of my emotions in my face, I cry regularly, I love deeply, like, I'm that kind of person. So for me to be able, you know, not manage them but understand them more, it was just the biggest gift.
Mm-hmm. That is such a good point. It's like managing the emotions, managing the outburst. Mm. Like that has been one of the biggest, I am going to have to agree with you. Like in San Francisco, the traffic and the construction is just insane. But I'm not so reactionary anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with being a parent, being a mother.
If that doesn't teach you patience, nothing will.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's so good. So I want you to kind of get granular with this and give us an example of how this really shows up with you. Like, it's one thing to say, okay, I have more patience, but let's share with the listeners an example, a true in the moment
example. I think a really good thing that's going on in my life at the moment is, so I live in Vancouver, I've been here 4 years, and it's an amazing place to live, and I have a really good yoga community, and there's loads of things about it I love. But something I miss deeply is my family in Ireland. Mm. So I have this deep desire to move home to Ireland. Whereas my partner, Colm, doesn't have that desire. He wants to stay here. And so we have this ongoing conversation where before we used to kind of clash on it, he'd be like, we're staying, we're going. And it was like, just an issue of contention always. It was always something that was like in the background, you know, anyone would ask us what's going on. Mm-hmm. Because you're trying to plan, I believe very much in living where you're at now, but at that time, like as in that's only very recent, I was always like, oh, I want to move home. Where are we going in the next year? Where are we going in the next 5 years? Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes as society gets caught up in that. But with the Nidra practice, it delights me to not like allow things be as they are for now. So understand, we don't have to have all the answers now. We don't have to quarrel on this over and over and over again. And then trusting in the direction things are going. And before, as a Catholic girl growing up in Ireland, that was God. You know what I mean? I trust, like, there was this God. Uh-huh. He was looking out for me. If I prayed, went to mass, you know, I was taken care of. Whereas now I kind of understand that, like, the creator, source, God, universe, whatever it is that you believe in, is inside of me. Like, we're all that. And that if I find that deep resonance of trust inside of me, mm-hmm. like, and I also understand that time is not, like, you know, it's so transient. Like, we're not, I just get that if I trust in myself and the process, I'll end up where I need to be. And I don't have this desire to control as much. And that alleviates any more fights with Colm. So I know I did not keep asking him and keep at him, because I just kind of believe, you know, it's going to happen the way it is. And that's actually funny, because when you release the grip, when I release the grip of, let's get a plan to move home, and I release that grip, then suddenly other things start showing up. Like, oh, I start considering traveling or teaching right. in different places. Or all of a sudden I get offered more work in Vancouver, because I'm allowing the universe give me what it's trying to give me mm-hmm. without trying to shut the door and everything. So it opens your eyes in different ways.
So true. I absolutely agree with that. It opens the windows, the doors, Like it just opens you all up. It's so true. Do you have a place that you practice on a regular basis?
I practice on my living room floor because it keeps me awake. And there's a way when I lie down there, I put a cushion behind my head, another cushion underneath my feet, and a blanket over me. And I close all the curtains. Mm-hmm. And when I lie down there, I can just get so deep. Whereas when I go into my bedroom, or I just find that I get too kind of like sleepy, or I've tried different places, but that for me is just, I don't know. There's something about lying down on the floor. It's like the, you know, it's not too comfortable. So it keeps me present because we also have these recliners and they can kind of recline all the way back. Mm-hmm. But even when I'm on those, I kind of find myself too relaxed, or I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you ever, excuse me, do you allow yourself to sleep, or do you like, you want to be awake through the whole nidra?
Oh, I really want to be awake. I really do. And I try my best. But you know, I do sleep, like as in, if I ever do it in bed, I'm going to go to sleep pretty soon after either the body scan or prayers opposites. I'm out. And for me, I love going into the visualizations. I love getting into that part, or like when I kind of am in that deep state or it's just darkness, and then I can kind of get tap into my intuition and I start hearing those little messages, or start seeing like all the different colors or whatever way it's being shown to me. But I just feel like I'm getting the download then. Mm-hmm. And that sounds kind of maybe whack for some listeners, but it is in a way that it's not, for me, it's not somebody speaking words. It's more when I come out of it, I'm like, oh, I should do this. And I noticed recently, because I've been doing so much practice, yoga nidra practice, that my dream space was just opening up. And I've always been quite a lucid dreamer, but never one that could remember fully. And there were always these crazy dreams, like being chased by rhinos or like really scary, frightening mental dreams. Uh-huh. I've always had the craziest dreams. Whereas now I have these dreams where I'm meeting with like my like elders and my guides, and they're talking to me, and then they're, I'm in the dream, I'm saying, I'm afraid I'm going to wake up and not remember any of this. Mm. And then they were like, don't worry, you'll remember. And then the first time it happened, I woke up and I remembered. And I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. Because it's the subconscious mind. It's the same place as nidra. That's where you receive the messages.
Yep. Mm. Do you do a lot of the lucid dreaming in conjunction with the nidras?
No, but this is so new for me. And it's like, it's not a learned skill. Nidra, I've studied and learned it. With lucid dreaming, it's more, I do my nidras late in the evening and then I go to bed and I say like a prayer aloud, like me, I go to sleep and remember my dreams. And I ask like my guardian angels to help me. And then I go in and I watch myself falling asleep. Mm-hmm. That's usually when, and then I'll have lucid dreams, and not every night, and it doesn't happen if I'm upset or there's any form of stress. Like I have to be in a place of peace in my heart. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing for people, they're wondering like, oh, why isn't this happening for me? Like this, the thing about this is we all have this. Like we are physical beings, mm-hmm. but we are spiritual beings. Like we all have our soul work inside of us. And I think sometimes from an outsider looking in, you might think, oh, I can't do that, or that's crazy, or, but it's, we can all do this. You know what I mean? It's just, it's practice.
It is practice.
And it's getting quiet enough, spending time on your own, trying to silence that thinking mind, and then trusting and letting go, and then being at peace. So if you're always giving your power, worrying about your friend, your work colleague, your boss, your partner, we spent so much time worrying about relationships. I spent years worrying and upset over some issue in a relationship, and what a waste of time. Like it's about, like, you know what I mean, come home to, I just wish I knew this lesson a lifetime ago, but you know, this is where I'm at.
That's where you're at now, right? It's just like, it's the journey. It's all about the journey. Mm-hmm. So I want to kind of squeeze in this question about, you know, some of our listeners have practiced, some of them haven't. I want you to share some, like a pro tip. Like what would be a pro tip that you'd be like, okay, if this is, you know, do this.
Oh, good. Yeah. I think for those moments where those times where I lay down and my mind's still racing. Really focus on the body scan for a start. So allow your awareness drop in there. And I think that can be achieved easily enough, depending where you're at. But then after that, to follow through, your mind can start wandering again. And for me, I bring all of my awareness to focusing on the darkness behind my eyes, and especially the place between my brows. And I think if you really set your, you know, attention there and see that darkness and get curious and see the light getting brighter and darker in the shadows, and then start seeing if there's any colors. And even if you just keep doing that and keep doing that, it'll drop you into that place. It'll stop the mind thinking, and that's enough to continue your practice. And it works for me. I don't know if it works for everybody else.
That's a great pro tip. I'm going to try that. Are you loving being a yoga nidra guide?
Oh my gosh, like nothing else. And it is the best feeling in the world. And I love the way it's guiding that teacher, because you're guiding someone into their own experience, and everyone's experience is different. And I get goosebumps all over my body when I guide, and I leave like on a high. And I've seen I see your videos as well when you finish teaching, and it like lifts you up there. Yeah. And you know, yoga nidra is a trip. Like, it is a trip. You're like, you're out there having a great time. You know what I mean? Who needs like drink or drugs? You just got this. And when you get into it, it's pretty addictive. And the things that can come out of yoga nidra are amazing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I went to the Scandinavia spa recently, which is like up in Whistler. It's an outdoor spa. There's like hot tubs and then cold tubs. So you dip between. And I noticed without even trying, and this is from the practice, it's like where you begin to develop control over like your innerly body functions. So I was getting into the hot tub, and I was in the hot tub, and it was, you know, fine, completely manageable. But I almost felt like I was regulating my temperature without trying. I was just in the hot tub. I could stay as long as I want. It was a really hot day. No problem. Then got into the cold tub, and it's like ice water. And before I used to do this, I've done that whole Wim Hof breathing. Yep. I don't know if you've heard of him. I trained with that guy. And so that process is where you do a lot of breath work, and then you submerge in ice. And then you do continue. You don't do the breath work in the ice. You just have done it in advance. And then you get out and you do horse stance. So I got into the ice tub thinking, oh, well, this is going to be hell because I haven't done the breath work. But then something happens, like all of a sudden I was like regulating my temperature without trying. And I waited and I waited, and I was like 5 minutes and 10 minutes and 12 minutes. And I was like, oh, and like, that was like a real experience for me. Like, this shit is real. Like, this is like a superpower. Like, yes. I sent my teacher a message going, is this normal?
Yeah.
And she was like, there is more, keep going. Yeah. So I think we don't realize our abilities. You know, we see these superhero movies and we think, oh, that's just, but it's real. And like, it's about like gaining, you know, like accessing, you've all these things going on in your inner body, and like learning how to control and manage and all of these like different abilities. So it was pretty cool. So like, guiding nidra is the bomb. And anytime I see somebody get up, you know, people come out of it yoga stoned. Like, you see them wake up and they're like, they're different. And you're like, whoa.
Yes.
You're welcome. You'll be okay in a while, I promise. They're kind of looking at you like, what did you just do?
I know. It's so true. It's so true. People lie down and they wake up differently. It is such, I see it every single time, every single person. And it's subtle, right? It can be subtle. Where it can be so impactful.
Yeah.
It's every person is unique, and the experience is unique for each person. Oh my God. I love the Wim Hof stuff. I love having just the idea of having, I want to say, control over your system, right? Like, that's just crazy. I don't like cold water at all. Like, I went through the Wim Hof stuff and I was like, oh, I can't take it. Like, such a baby. So now I'm like, oh, maybe I could try it again.
Oh, you got this. You got this. And you know what? It's not even like trying. Like, this wasn't a conscious, oh, I'm going to try. It was more of a surprise. It was like, oh, what's happening? And it was like, it just happens.
Yeah. Magical.
Yes. Mm.
So good. Ashlyn, this has been such a juicy conversation and you bring so much to the practice. And I'm just so grateful to know you and to hear you and to share your story today. Where do you want people to connect with you and to reach out to you and be with you?
Well, you can go visit my website. So my website is ashlynquigleyyoga.com. And it's an unusual spelling. So it's AISLINGQUIGLEY. So Ashlyn Quigley Yoga. And my Instagram is the same, at Ashlyn Quigley Yoga. And if you happen to be an Insight Timer, I do have a meditation up there. And the one I shared.
And it's so good, you guys.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, it was one I did for myself and then I shared. So it's Yoga Nidra for Self-Love. But really, it's working that inner child work and all that work I did. And I share that with everybody out there.
So good. So good. You guys, go over onto the Insight Timer and check out that practice. It'll put you in a different place. Promise. I promise you.
Thank you, Lane. That's so kind.
Ashlyn, thank you for being on the show with me today. Such a light in this world.
It's always so nice to talk to somebody who's on the level, who loves talking about this stuff with you. If I could talk about this all day, every day, I would.
So good. All right, you guys, thank you for being here. Thank you for hanging out, for listening, for enjoying the journey. May this day bring you something light, something bright, and something so delicious and juicy so you may be the best you can be. Until next time, my sweet friend, take care. Bye for now.
Don't forget, grab the app. Start your journey with Yoga Nidra today. Thanks for listening.